Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
I've talked a lot lately about the importance of the teachings of Jesus on love and forgiveness. Simply follow those teachings and you can attain your own best life both now and forever. But there is one more spiritual practice that's critical for us to learn. It can empower your mind in ways that are going to amaze you. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is my wonderful friend, Hillis Pugh. He's the author of Thank You Thursday, and he is an expert on the glorious ways that using gratitude can transform our lives. The energy that governs our one reality is the extraordinary powers of our minds, and Hillis teaches people how to use that connection to our greater spiritual reality in what are amazing, amazing ways. Hillis is wonderful. You're going to love him. Welcome, Hillis. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Roberta. Thank you for having me on today. It's a great pleasure to be with you again.
Now, I just have to say personally, I've come to understand that you're right about a lot of things, and I think more and more people are as well. I was just reading someone this morning sent me an email with a blog post from somebody I'd never heard of, which talked about how gratitude rewires our brains. Can you just tell us, how did you get involved in gratitude as a spiritual exercise?
Interesting. I did see that post as well about how gratitude rewires your brain. How interesting is that?
But yes.
I know, yeah. But I got started with gratitude from my personal experiences and going through trials and challenges that allowed me to reflect upon my life and not take everything for granted and look at life moments as they happen and appreciate them as they happen. And when I awakened to that, it just allowed me to be grateful for everything that I have and everything that's coming.
How did you express your gratitude? What was it that you did?
What started the snowball into a gigantic avalanche was back in 2008, I had the most challenges of that year. And, you know, the day of Thanksgiving, to where I wrote a loving and simple email to my friends and family, thanking them for their love and support over the year and helping me in every aspect that I never thought possible. Because for me, to ask for help is a big thing for me, because, you know, being very prideful, it really helped me to say, stop. I am not alone in this. I have people who can help me. And from that point forward, and offering that gratitude, that thanks to them, just allowed me to be more open and thankful for everything and everyone in my life.
And that made you feel better when that happened, when you sent that email. And how did they respond?
Yes, it made me feel immensely better, and the response that I received was overflowing with love. It was a lot of love from them, and I appreciate it even to this day.
As I recall your story, you were kind of down right then, right, in your life?
Yes, you know, in the midst of, you know, lost my business, relationship problems, you know, the typical situation.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You know, when you think that you hit rock bottom, but you feel like you can, you know, you go a little bit deeper. It's like, oh, okay, there
oh, dear.
Isn't.
It gets even worse. Yes. I know the feeling.
Yeah. And from that point forward, I mean, it just allowed me to reflect upon what really happened and what I allowed to happen and what I attracted in my life. It's like, okay, it's my fault. I take, you know, some responsibility for this, and now I can express gratitude for everything that is happening now. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready to move forward.
Okay, and so, but as I recall your story, and Hillis, I should just say, Hillis, that you and I haven't done an interview for a year and a half, which really surprises me. Time goes so fast, I feel as if we just did this. But
I know.
As I recall your story, gratitude really turned your life around. Tell us how it changed things for you when you discovered that you could feel gratitude, as you say, get past the ego and the pride, and just be grateful to people and to God too. And then what happened?
What changed for me was after I sent the email to my friends and family, and the love that I received back from them, it just opened me up to even more so to notice the nuances, the smaller things in every day that we generally take for granted that I was able to give thanks for. For example, you know, I will wake up every day and I would be in a shower and I would count things to be grateful for, you know, even as I'm taking a shower, it's like I'm happy and grateful that I have hot water to take a shower with. I'm happy and grateful to have a toothbrush and toothpaste to brush my teeth with. So it's like those little things that I stopped in those moments to give thanks for, which just opened me up to see the bigger picture.
It opened you up to see the bigger picture. What did it open you to see?
It opened me up to see that there's more to life than just what we attract and what we create. It opened me up to see that gratitude is more than just making it through something. It's expressing the love that we have for ourselves, for others, and the things that are to manifest in our lives before it even happens.
See, I think that's a really crucial point, and I want to emphasize it. What I learned to do, actually, even before I met you, Hillis, was not to pray, please this or please that, God, because if you pray to ask for things, you're praying from lack. You're saying, I don't have something, and I want it. Whereas if you pray from abundance, thank you for this, thank you for that. Even if you don't have it yet, it's waiting for you. It's there. You just have to reach out and get it. When you pray from abundance, which is, I think, what you've discovered, you get it. It's already there. You just make it manifest. That's so important, and I hope everyone listening will think about this. I never pray, please God, this or that. When I gave my life to God, which was in April of 2009, I said, thank you for giving me work to do. Thank you for showing me how to do it. I had no idea what I was going to be doing next. But within 3 months, I was writing The Fun of Dying, and ever since then, over and over again, there have been, I pray, still pray it every day, Hillis, it's what I always pray as part of my routine, but every day there have been new things brought into my life that were really gifts, that were part of this work that I'm supposed to be doing that I didn't even know was waiting for me. So if, dear friends, if you take nothing else away from our conversation today, I hope that you will take Hillis's wonderful insight that when you are always grateful, even as you, did you say for when you're brushing your teeth for the toothpaste? When you're always grateful for what's in your life, however little you think it is now, and when you say, thank you for the new job I'm about to get, thank you for that's already there, I just have to find it, thank you for what's there, it is there, it's already there. There's, I should just add one more thing, and I wish I could remember who it is, a famous comedian, someone whose name, Jim Carrey, I think it was Jim Carrey, had nothing. And he started to be thankful for the fact that he was going to make $1 million doing comedy or something. And sure enough, look where he is today.
Amazing.
Isn't that wonderful? All right, I'm sorry to interrupt you, dear, but I had to say that because what you're saying is more important, I think, than anyone realizes. This is central, I think, to really growing spiritually.
Exactly. And there's two things I want to, one thing I want to add and one thing I want to share. And you hit it right on the head when you talked about Jim Carrey's story, because I can't remember who the person was that said this quote. But it was something to the effect of, because I'm saying, not verbatim, but just the general idea of that, because the universe already knows what it is that you want. You just have to ask, how do I do it? How do I receive it? And when you get in that place of how, then you open yourself up to the manifestations, to the creations that you allow in your life.
So there was a first manifestation for you, and I remember the story, but not the details. It was a job you wanted, I think. Could you tell us that?
Yes. there's one thing I do want to share before I want to jump into the story, and this is very dear to me because it involves you, Roberta, believe it or not. I remember when you sent me two copies of your book, The Fun of Dying, and for the longest time, I've been in a place of trying to get my mom on board with my spiritual practices and get her going and get her moving.
You're always and, the last to believe in us, aren't they?
Well, my mom believed, but she was hesitant. But my mom passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it wasn't too long. I think it was about the time I gave her your book for her to read. And as I was going through her things, the stuff, as I like to call it, I saw that in her final days that she got it, that she understood what was going on. And I feel that's part of the reason why she felt it was time for her to go, because she couldn't do any more of what she felt like she could do here.
Okay. So have you talked to your mother since then?
Well, since my mom has passed on, I've talked to her. I feel her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's around all the time, and she's probably around even as I'm talking about her now.
I'm sure she is. They love it when we talk about them. Which is what I'm going to say something about my mom too. My mom was the classic doubter. I have been, of course, doing this work for the whole of my adult life, and she never really wanted to talk about it or think about it. When she was so afraid to die that she, and I didn't know you could do this until she did it. She lived past her last planned exit point when she was 88, and she didn't die until her body fell apart on her, and she was 93. Well, that was a terrible experience for me. I know she lived past her planned exit point because a being of light came to her in her room, and she didn't know what that was, and said, "We decided that since you want to stay, we're going to let you stay a little longer." And so I didn't know what that meant. What it means is that you can't then leave until you have no activities of daily living. Not a good experience. When you see your loved ones around you, here's a tip, everyone. Go with them. It's a lot better than what comes next if you don't go. But that's a side thing. Finally, she did die. And in her last year, I would read to her from The Fun of Dying. I would talk to her about where she was going. I did everything I could. She still didn't want to go. I didn't even want to talk to this woman. I was pretty annoyed with her, but a year and a half later, I did talk with her, Suzanne Wilson. She's happy as a clam. And the first thing she said to me was, "You were right about everything," which I thought was hysterical. You were right. I mean, it took her going through all of that to realize that maybe I knew something she didn't know. Lord.
Yes, yes.
But so it's not uncommon for parents to be a little bit skeptical of their own children.
Yes.
But all right, tell me about the job. Tell the job story, because I thought it was quite remarkable that you...
Yes, the job story. So, I don't remember the year. I don't remember it. I just remember the fine details. So I was in a position, at a specialist working in retail, one of very few positions. It was one of the few positions in the city, and matter of fact, around the country. It was a specialized position that I was trained for that came natural to me because I'm an awesome salesperson, and people believed in me, and I believed in my customers. And so with that came about, I wasn't feeling satisfied in my position anymore. I felt like I could do anything that I could do. And so then I started looking elsewhere for a job. Uh-huh. And the long story short, I received a job in the marketing position, you know, and it was amazing. I had two interviews in one day. The second interview, I walked out with the job, and I'm like, what just happened? I looked up, and I'm like, okay, what just really happened? I got a job. I didn't even try to get this job. It was just there waiting for me. And I go back to my retail position 2 weeks later, well, not 2 weeks, the next day. I put in my 2 weeks notice. It's like, okay, I'm leaving. And it just so happens that the district manager was there, I think, the following day. So the day after I gave my notice, she wanted to talk to me. She's like, Hillis, what's going on? It's like, I put in my notice. It's like, I mean, I don't feel like there's no room for me here anymore for what I want to do. And she asked me, what would it take for me to stay?
Really? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
They're fighting over you.
Yeah, basically. So at this point, I have two jobs. And so I said to her, I said, so basically I had a blank check to stay. I said, well, I want to be in management, making this amount of money. And she said, okay, let me see what I can do. I said, well, in the meantime, I'm going to Paris for 10 days. When I come back, I'll let you guys know. And it wasn't even, you know, I wasn't even gone my full vacation. And I said, you know, I don't want this marketing job. I turned that one down and ended up staying in my retail job because that's what I wanted. I wanted to be around my friends, wanted to be around my customers, wanted to be around the energy that made me happy every day.
Yeah. But the point is
so,
that you began by turn your life around by beginning to be grateful for what you have. And
yes,
actually even grateful for what was about to happen, knowing that something wonderful would happen. And it did.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, it's, and I just want to let your listeners know that it's not just enough to say the words thank you or to say, you know, I am happy for this, I'm thankful for this. It's all about the energy and how you say it, because you have to feel good when you put the energy out there, because if you say something and you feel bad, then the universe hears that frequency of negative energy.
Yeah.
So then that's going to come. If you don't say it with love and joy and happiness, then the opposite is going to come, you know?
That is so important. What you are modeling for the universe, or you can say for God, whatever you think of is as the greater energy in your life, you are modeling for that energy what you want to see. So if you are modeling dissatisfaction, unhappiness, resentfulness, any negative energy at all, you're going to get a lot more reasons to feel that way, because that's what you're calling to yourself. This is the most basic spiritual physics that there is, and the only physics that really exists that's a genuine physics is spiritual physics. Love is the highest vibration. It overrules everything. And so by being grateful, you're giving yourself a basis in love and joy, which models the future and models the life which you're trying to call to yourself. I think that's what I did. I didn't actually read the whole thing that was sent to us this morning, Hillis, but I think that was the point of it. We don't realize the power of our minds. Nothing in our culture prepares us for how powerful our minds are. I mean, those who've been listening to these podcasts for a while, and of course, Hillis, your followers too, know that we have very, very powerful minds that are not created by our brains, but in fact are part of the eternal mind that is the source of everything. So we know they're powerful.
Exactly.
But to understand how powerful you are is so liberating. You have the power to create the life. Now, you live in New York City, right? So you're in the Big Apple.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
So if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And Hillis is making it in New York City. And the way he's doing it is by being grateful for what he has. Even though you said you started from nothing and you were kind of down there for a while.
Yeah, and you know, and just want to reflect upon what you just said, and it always brings me back to the minds of children.
Yes.
Because the children are so pure in the energy that they project that they don't see anything else. They only see the truth and what is really there.
Right.
It's not until we go out and experience the world as we progress with age do we tend to skew the purity of the view with our perception of experiences that we've had.
That is just so true. And in fact, it's in the Gospels. Jesus says, unless you have a mind of a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what he referred to as the kingdom of heaven is the highest afterlife level just below the source level. And
yes.
Only when we have become that pure of mind, as you say, like a little child, are we able to achieve that level of spiritual growth. So what we're doing, I think, in becoming truly grateful and cultivating an attitude of gratitude, what we're doing in that is remodeling our minds to prepare us to grow spiritually in ways that otherwise would be impossible for us.
Exactly. And people also, when we cultivate this culture, as you say, this attitude of gratitude, people... And I just want to make this clear, is that when we think of gratitude, we think in terms of having to overcome something or having to come through something or looking back upon something. Whew, I'm glad I made it out of that. You know, that's the typical attitude of gratitude,
right.
You know. But when I speak of gratitude, I speak in terms of appreciation and in terms of love. And, you know, instead of saying gratitude, we could say appreciation, because that's what it is. It's appreciating what we have created, what we have manifested, what we have called forth into our lives presently and even before it happens. So as long as we stay in that moment and appreciate what that moment has brought us and what we have learned from that moment, pending our level of awareness, then we can truly appreciate and value that moment.
What happens if something bad happens? Could be a little thing, even bad thing, or a big bad thing. How do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude there?
It is the contrast of our desires that's showing up when something of equal force that shows up in our view, in our existence, that we want to manifest. So when that happens, we appreciate that negative thought, that negative item, that negative person, whatever it may be, in that moment, say, thank you for showing up in my life, for allowing me to see what it is that I do not want, and then dismiss that energy.
Okay. So we don't resent, we forgive, which again is a core spiritual teaching. And we are grateful that we get to experience something which helps us get away from whatever it is that's negative. So,
yes.
You can be grateful.
Yes.
You can be I love this. This is wonderful teaching. You can be grateful for anything. It's all about making your mind into something more perfect, because then we really begin to grow. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. Meanwhile, I just wanted to say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and My Thomas. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest today is Hillis Pugh, who is a wonderful wonderful friend who has done, I think, something that was always needed. He's shining a spotlight on how important it is for us to be grateful. I mean, especially in this day and age, a lot of people, I mean, you see all these rich people, and they've got stuff you don't have, and we all want stuff. We all want, disappointment is part of life. We don't want to be disappointed. We want everything to be perfect. So it's so easy to forget what Hillis teaches, which is that the core of getting is to be grateful for what you have and grateful for what's coming. So I think this is just an inspired teaching. And Hillis, you send out emails. I get them from you. How do people reach you, and how would people get your emails?
They can reach me by visiting my website, hillispugh.com.
That's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, so that's hillispugh.com. And there they can sign up for any newsletters there to receive my information, my blog entries, and news all about me and what I do.
Okay, that's hillispugh.com, and his last name is spelled P-U-G-H. And I think I love reading what he sends. It always makes me think, and I think it has really, Hillis, thank you. You've helped to reinforce for me the importance of forgiveness, which I hadn't given, although that's how I pray. I hadn't really thought deeply enough about how essential it is in transforming our lives positively. So I think that's wonderful. What are you doing now? You have a new book coming out soon, right?
I do, but do we have enough time for me to share a story about forgiveness?
We certainly do. Yes, absolutely.
So just a quick story about forgiveness. And as I mentioned earlier, Roberta, I told you that my mom passed last year.
Uh-huh.
And it opened up the door for me to meet my biological father. And as he was talking, what rang in my head was, you know, how my father asked me, how can you forgive me for not being in your life all these years? I think it's part of my practice. It's part of who I've become as a person to just be in a place of love and just accept that things happen when they're supposed to happen. And now that I have you in my life, you know, after 39 years, you know, I want to get to know you. Sorry?
Yeah, but isn't that wonderful, though, that he came into your life and that he did ask for your forgiveness and that you knew to forgive him and from your heart? I think that's just a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. So is he in your life now?
Oh yeah, it's a love affair. We talk, you know, at least once a week and text every other day, you know, and it's just, you know, getting to know him and him getting to know me, and it's interesting, it's magical, because the first time that we really sat and met, we sat down and talked for 2 hours and didn't even know 2 hours went by.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And I think that's an inspiring story. I mean, I'm sure that there are other people who are listening who have someone that they think they probably should try to contact. I hear a lot from people who have estranged siblings or even a parent, and I just always say it takes two to make that estrangement continue. If you, from your heart, love and forgive them, you don't have to say this, by the way, to people. You never have to say, I forgive you. It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is always the gift that you give yourself. But then you're able to be grateful that they have been in your life, and eventually you feel good enough to keep reaching out to them. And if they rebuff you, you wait a year, you do it again.
Because exactly.
Look what a gift it is to have them in any way back in your life. I think that's wonderful.
Exactly. And like you say, you necessarily don't always have to say it to their face. You can always write a letter and write the letter to yourself and never mail it.
Never mail it.
As long as your intentions are with love and forgiveness, you might set those intentions, write them down, and then what you can do is you can even burn it afterwards and watch the magic happen.
One of the most profound teachings I've ever heard, and I keep it in my mind now every day, is that we cannot change the world until we first change ourselves. And that's at the core of all of this. Yes, it does rewire your brain. It makes your own life happier. But I can't tell you, I hear every day from people who are saying, how are we going to fix the world? It's in such a mess, and the politics, and the ISIS, and all these things. And I say, you know, the thing you can do, the powerful, powerful thing you can do to change the world is to change yourself from within.
Yes.
To make yourself into a loving, forgiving, beautiful example of this kind of spiritual growth. When you do that, the world changes. Enough people will do that, and the world will change, because our minds are really all one mind. We're all connected.
Yes.
The negativity is in that mind, and we can get rid of it by getting rid of what we put there. So this is, I think, a much more profound teaching than I realized, and which is why I'm excited to have people hear about you, Hillis. At the core, really, of all of this seems to be that we first cultivate this attitude of gratitude, this sense that we are grateful. We're grateful for everything. Even negative things, as you point out, are opportunities for growth. They tend to be things, by the way, that we built into our lives before we were born, and we were happy to do it, these horrible things, because it's like a bad afternoon in a spiritual gym. We want to get on those tough machines so we can really grow spiritually. So be grateful to your awful mother-in-law. Be grateful to all the people that you think are the worst in your life, because they're helping you to grow to be the best that you can be, which is frankly why you're here. This is a great thing. So tell us more about your book.
So I have a new book coming out sometime in March. Don't have an exact date yet, because I'm putting the finishing touches on it now. It is called Awaken with the Gratitude. And it's pretty much like the first one, Thank You Thursday. I just did it in a different manner this time, to where I speak about my observations and what I witness throughout every day that I just write about, you know, little things to be grateful for, the things that we don't normally pay attention to.
So, and this will be available on Amazon?
It will be available through Amazon and through my website. I'm not sure about any other distribution as of yet, but those two for sure.
Well, what I've found is that most people want to go to Amazon anyway. My books are now in all the major bookstores, but nobody finds them there because, of course, bookstores carry one or two. They get bought, then it's another month. They order more, and more get there. So you can always find these wonderful books on Amazon.com, which we all love to pieces, don't we, Hillis? I mean, before Amazon, there were so many voices that could not be heard. But now, thanks to this wonderful gift of Amazon in all of our lives, so much is possible that was never possible before. So how do you teach this in your daily life? Because I know you're living a life like all the rest of us. How do you talk to people? Do you teach in some way? What do you do?
Not yet. I'm actually looking into planning some seminars and radio show in the coming months. So be looking out for that. But personally, I just have my own gratitude practices that when people often ask me what is it that I do, I just tell them what I do. And it's simple. And what I do is I have what I like to call a thank you avalanche. And you can do this any time of the day, wherever you are, you know, as little as 30 seconds or as much as 10 minutes, however long you want it to be. But for me, I'm in the shower. And I start off by saying, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, having my toothpaste and toothbrush. I'm thankful for waking up this morning. I'm thankful for, so it's like a laundry list, if you will, of things that you recite out loud to yourself, or even write down in a gratitude journal of things that you're thankful for. And you just watch that list just grow and grow. And when that list grows and when you have genuine appreciation for what it is that you're expressing, then your mood changes and then you start to change and then you get to be more aware of what it is that's going on around you in that moment. So, that, I mean, practices are everything.
So this is a wonderful idea. You've got a gratitude journal, and you write down what you're grateful for, and when then you spot something else, you can write that down too. And what you're doing is making yourself really focus on what in your life is good. And anybody can do this. You can, even if you think there's nothing in your life that's good, as Hillis points out, you've got toothpaste. You know, you've got a place to hang your hat, and if you don't have that, well, you've got a nice, you know, place on the curb. Whatever you have is
exactly.
yours, and it is a gift. And so when you're grateful for that gift, it begins to hardwire your mind, and it's not your brain, it's really your mind that it hardwires in very positive ways. You start seeing more things you're grateful for. My goodness, that beautiful bird song or that flower by the way, and more things. And people respond to this. I think this is a very important point. The reason people would be asking you, Hillis, what it is you do is that you have a joy about you, which they would like. And everyone, as you begin to be really grateful and feel it, and it begins to change your mind, people are going to ask you, you know, how come you're always so happy? I get this all the time. It's like I irritate people sometimes because this is who I always am. I never get down. But you start to really begin to build a benevolent cycle in your own life. I urge people then who are beginning to do this and start to keep a gratitude journal, start to pray in gratitude affirmations. I know, you know, maybe you haven't worked for a year. Thank you for the job that I'm about to get. I'm excited about it. Thank you for, this lovely interview I had this morning. Thank you for the interview I'm about to do, and thank you for the fact that I'm going to shine in it. There are
yes.
things you can say and think that are going to transform yourself, which is what this really is all about. I think an important point, Hillis, we've got to emphasize is you can't change anybody else.
No
matter who is in your life that is irritating the dickens out of you, no matter what problems you have that you think another person could fix, you cannot change anybody else. But you do have this glorious power, no matter what your age is, no matter your circumstance, you have the power to altogether change yourself.
Yes, and I will say that when you also have the power to change yourself, in addition to you have the power to infect others with your love, joy, and kindness, because when people see that when you model, when you exemplify the pure love and joy that you give off, others can't help but to receive that. It's just like when you smile at somebody, you know, they can't help but to smile back. Whether
yeah.
if it's a nervous smile or they don't know what to do, if it's a genuine smile, but regardless of the case or regardless of the outcome, that person can't help but to smile back at you.
Yeah, that is so absolutely true, which reminds me of another practice that probably sounds loony, but I'm going to say it anyway. I looked, when I was about 10, I would look at these women over 50 or over 60 who had all these horrible frowns on their faces, and I'd try to analyze why. And I realized it was because their resting face when they were younger probably had a little frown on it. And if you have a resting face that has a frown, that's not a good thing. So I started when I was just little to try to always smile every minute. I mean, not a lot. You don't want to look like a lunatic. But I would kind of turn my corners of my mouth up just a little bit. We're talking a kid doing this.
Right.
And as a result, some people will smile at me just because they think I'm smiling at them, but I'm not. It's a habit now. Smiling rewires your mind, too, because it takes so few muscles to smile. I read somewhere it takes like just a few, but many more to frown. But we tend to frown because we're thinking about things or you know, gee, I don't like what happened earlier. I'm thinking about that. No. Let your face be your beacon to the world of joy and peace and love. And when you do that, no matter what your age, again, especially if you're older, I find it's a good idea to smile more, and just in case you got some of those frown lines. But it makes a difference in the way you see the world when there's a smile on your face. It almost has to change the way that you feel when you're reflecting a joy that should be there and that will start to be there when you're reflecting it. So,
yes.
Again, this is basic spiritual stuff. I mean, we tend to go for the fancy things. I'm going to learn to meditate, do yoga, go to this or that guru. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. Whatever you're thinking you're going to do to transform yourself spiritually, the first and most important and core thing to do is to learn to be grateful for everything and be happy about whatever it is in your life that you have found to be grateful for, and then build on that as Hillis has built on it. So this is just such an important conversation, and I hope that it helps everyone listening to sort of take to heart this need that we all have to make our minds more reflective of the glorious truth that they are eternal, we are powerful eternal beings, and we're here just to grow. So the seed of it, really, as you point out, Hillis, is gratitude.
Yes. It starts with expressing pure love and appreciation for what you have, and always to feel good about what you have.
Yes. If it helps anyone who's thinking, yeah, but I don't have much and I'm pretty frustrated, just be aware that if you, and Jesus said this too, he said, don't store up treasure here because the moths will get it and the whatever, mold will get it. He said, store up treasure for heaven, in heaven, because there nothing can ever destroy it. That turns out to be really right, because we're here for a very short period of time. But if we have developed ourselves spiritually, the levels we can attain for eternity are so much more beautiful, better, more fun. There's more stuff to do. It's the best. So
yes.
if you think you don't have very much now, what you're doing is storing up what matters, which is spiritual development, spiritual growth. And to be frank, what I've found too, Hillis, and I think you found it as well, when you begin to be really grateful, it makes your attitude change so much that it makes you happy even here, even if you only live in a one-room house by the river or wherever you live. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So yeah. What have you seen in other people that you've sort of taught? Do you have any other stories to share about people who have begun to learn to be grateful as they need to be grateful to start this?
Well, recently I've started doing Periscopes, which is live streaming video. And it's interesting to see some of the questions that people ask in regards to gratitude and how they can turn their lives around. And during the process, I see their questions change from, you know, how do I feel like this, or how can I get to this? And it's like an evolution through this 20 minutes or hour that I'm speaking live to these people. And it's like, it's really interesting to see how they begin to shift their awareness to say, okay, I can think about this differently now. I can think about that differently. I can be more aware of what I'm doing now. And just to see those subtle shifts in their energy is remarkable in such a short amount of time.
Isn't that great? And how would someone, if wanted to participate, become part of one of these Periscopes?
So all they have to do is just follow me on Twitter, and they can get all my social media on my website, hillispugh.com, because they can because Periscope is linked to Twitter, so if they follow me on Twitter or they can't follow me on Twitter, then they have to download the Periscope app, and they can follow me there, and my name is the same on all social media.
It's a good thing we have unusual names, isn't it?
Yes.
they don't tell our moms when we're being named that it's better to name us something very unusual. I find there are a lot of people named Roberta Grimes, so it's a good thing we got my website very, very early, but I have savvy kids who knew what they were doing. So, is there anything in particular you want people to take away from our visit today?
Just to know that regardless of how you feel or where you are in your life, is that you can always say thank you for what you have. And thank you are the two second most powerful words to me in the universe. So just stop and say thank you, because you never know what may come if you just allow yourself to have appreciation in that moment.
Okay, someone driving in his car right now is saying, he said that's the second most important. What's the most important words?
The most important two words is I am, are the most powerful words in the universe.
I am. Why is that?
No, because you think of it in terms of affirmation, and you saying with pure love and intention that I am, you know, followed by whatever you want. You can say, I am worthy, or I am deserving, or I am loved. And it just feels good when you say that. And then when you say, I am thankful for being loving, I am thankful for being appreciated, you know, and when you put them together, it's like you create this wonderful magic.
So we've just said something that could lead to another hour's conversation. But what you've said is, I am proclaims that you are, that you exist, and then when you put a powerful word after it, I am loved, I am forgiven, I am happy, I am, you know, part of this great, beautiful mind of God. Whatever you say after it, you're making that, you're realizing it, and you're making it even more intensely come to be. Wow,
yes.
That is wonderful. That's beautiful, Hillis.
Yes.
And I hope that people are thinking about that too, because just to say I am grateful will rewire your mind. It will help you begin to think in those ways. One of the biggest things that we're coming to understand about real spiritual growth is that it's a crowding out of the negativity that we all carry in our minds. Love crowds out all the lesser negative energies, and all of these different ways of beginning to feel and express love are crowding out the resentments, the anger, the things that drag us down. They'll even crowd out things like grief that you think you can't crowd out. You know, I am forever part of the life of whoever it is you thought you lost, but you know you haven't lost them. All of these are very powerful ways for us to begin to help our minds grow spiritually and to make ourselves happy now. I think that's another thing I want to stress, Hillis. You're a happy guy, and everyone who is growing spiritually as you are is happy. So if you think you haven't been happy, this is the easiest way to fix that. No outside thing will fix it. Getting a better car will do nothing. But rewiring your mind to be grateful is a way to make yourself happy now.
Yes. Yes, 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 now.
Right now. I am so sorry we're coming to the end of our time. Hillis, again, please tell us, how do people find you?
So your listeners can easily find me and all things Hillis in social media at hillispugh.com, and that's hillispugh.com.
We're going to be talking with Hillis again probably in about 6 months after his book is out. And I'm going myself now, Hillis, thanks to you, to be emphasizing gratitude much more than I ever have before, because you've helped me see that all the other things I'm trying to teach really have their basis in that. The thing I'm most grateful for is that each mind not just mine, but the minds of everybody I love and everybody else, where our minds are eternal and we're infinitely loved by a perfectly loving God. When you have that, that's all you need to be grateful for. Everything else flows from it. So I'm so glad you've been here. And I'm sorry, as I say, we've come to the end, but this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you fully comprehend the truth of that, you'll change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things that we're learning about our one reality, of course, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free here on webtalkradio.net and also on iTunes. Just search for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and My Thomas. In 2017, The Fun of Growing Forever will be out, and one of the things we're going to talk about there a lot more will be forgiving, loving, and perhaps at the very base, being grateful. Grateful for everything that we are. Our guest next week is going to be Cyrus Kirkpatrick. He's a young man with extraordinary gifts. Wendy and Victor Zammit just love him, and so therefore I'm disposed to love him too. I'm reading his terrific book. It's called Understanding Life After Death. And to be frank, he sort of did a more nuanced and thoughtful version, a little bit longer version of The Fun of Dying. So I'm a little bit jealous, but getting over it. He's even charitable, believe it or not, about scientific debunkers. His book is terrific, and I think you're going to love Cyrus. Please join us. This week we've been talking with my wonderful friend, Hillis Pugh. Hillis is a gifted young man. He teaches the use of gratitude as a way to empower yourself. And as I've been saying, as I begin to share the teachings of Jesus, I'm coming to understand that gratitude is at the core, at the very core of a deeply spiritual life. It's the third crucial step that Jesus came to teach us so we can make the greatest spiritual progress. My dear friends, each of us is here to learn and grow spiritually, and giving us a place to do that is apparently the reason the universe even exists. But the thing that until recently I never knew is that growing spiritually doesn't just make you happy when you get back where you're going. It makes you really happy right now. If you want to live your best possible life, there's no better way to find the joy that we all are here to seek and to find than to learn to create a perfectly loving, forgiving, and thankful heart. That's where it begins. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.